Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Oh, we have an exciting episode for the Paracast this week, and we'll introduce our guests in a few moments. They are champing at the bit right now. In fact, I talked with one of our guests just a short while ago, and we'll tell you about that conversation because it has some interesting news. In the meantime, one of the things that Chris and I have not done as often as we should is talk to those of you who are listening to the Paracast for the very first time, or maybe you started listening a few months ago and you don't get the lay of the land yet. And I think the mistake, Chris, and maybe you'll agree with me here, is that sometimes what we do is we think about the listeners who've been around for a while and not the ones who don't know all the players and don't know the inside baseball. What do you think?
I agree, and I think it's important for our newest listeners out there who maybe aren't quite as up to speed to do your research and really find out about some of the personalities that we have on the show. Get yourself educated as to the width and breadth of the phenomena that we cover on the show. It's really difficult, I think, for some of our newer listeners to keep up, and we're going to make a real concerted effort for, you know, our newbies out there to kind of stop our guests and have them digress a little bit and give a little background about cases that they're talking about that maybe most of us know about, but some of us don't. We're going to try to shoot a little bit lower in the common denominator area a little bit for some of our newer, fresher listeners.
Now, the point is here, it's not saying that a new listener, because you are a new listener, you're not as intelligent, you're not as observing as our existing listeners. It's just you have to start somewhere. Now, one feature we've added to our forums, which is new, so you won't see much in there right now. We have a forum at theparacast.com/forum or forum.theparacast.com. This is a place for listeners to interact, and it's a place also where we talk about things not just about the paranormal, but about politics, about culture, about music. And we have a new feature called Book Reviews. And right now it's just being populated, but over the next few months, people will be adding their own book reviews, and you can yourself. This is a user-generated book review section. Maybe I'll contribute, maybe Chris will, but anyone who's a member of the Paracast forums, you can put your own reviews there. And it's very simple to do. So we suggest that. That's a way you will learn about interesting books that maybe we won't be getting to on the Paracast or we'll be getting to in the future. But the place to interact with our guest is something called the Question Bank.
As soon as we know that we're going to have a guest or guests on the show, what we do is we post a thread in the Question Bank that allows you to ask questions of our guests. It's a great way to interact because we're not a live show. It's a great way to interact and find out specific information from a guest that normally you would be able to call into a show if it was live. Since we're not live and we do tape the show, this is a way for you to get your questions answered.
And the other thing is here, even if we were live, there'd be a question whether we should take live calls without specially curating the calls, because you'll get very cogent comments and then a few wackos will join in and they'll try to start trouble. And it's easier if we have something written in advance. We can look over the questions. And we're not going to censor them. We're just going to make sure that we ask real questions and not just somebody who is saying a few things just for the heck of it. Maybe in the future we will do live calls. That's how it works now. So it's forum.theparacast.com, and you go to the question bank. You don't have to be a member, by the way, to see the contents of the forum. Just click on the question bank. You'll see the threads or topics to a specific guest, and we'll stick the ones in the sticky threads area that relate to the guest that's going to be interviewed.
Another thing, too, Gene, about our forum is we have a lot of really gracious posters. You know, from time to time, people who are new to the field come in and, you know, ask probing questions to get themselves up to speed. And I must say, we do have a lot of gracious posters who are willing to take someone who's maybe not as up to speed along and educate them. So this is a really good resource for our newest listeners out there who really want to get more of a sense of the field and the history and the just kaleidoscopic elements that these phenomena tend to present us.
And the thing you should remember, too, here is that it has believers. It has skeptics. It has people in the middle, the gray middle of a point of view. So therefore, if you believe or disbelieve or you're skeptical about a guest, don't be afraid to talk about it. Sometimes they get a little bit ornery in these forums. We try to control that. But just be aware of that the restrictions in language that are part and parcel of mainstream radio are not necessarily present in a forum. So we allow a little bit more freedom there because the FCC is not curating our forums, and therefore that's how it goes. Again, it's forum.thepowercast.com. A couple of other things quickly. If you want to check us out on Facebook, there is a Paracast fan club and a Paracast group. We have to figure a way to combine the two. On Facebook, my name on Facebook is Gene Steinberg. If you want to send us a tweet, you go to the Paracast on Twitter. And now, those of you who use the new Macs that Apple's coming out with, the new operating system, and the mobile devices, the iPad, the iPhone, Apple is integrating Twitter and now Facebook in everything. So there's no excuse not to interact with us that way. But today, we have two guests who have been on the show separately and equally, and now they'll be here together. And the subject is disclosure. Is there such a thing? Is it possible in the UFO field to actually disclose what's going on? Will the government tell us what they know? Do they know anything worth telling? The guests are Richard Dolan. Of course, he's written the UFOs and National Security State books. And we also have Bryce Zabel. He was producer of a TV show called Dark Skies, which was a TV show back in the 90s. It got quite a bit of response, and we may have some new developments to report in the future about Dark Skies, and Bryce will tell us about that. They came together to talk about disclosure in a book called After Disclosure. And the tenet of the book is, okay, the government of the United States, Great Britain, wherever, says, we're being visited by E.T. How do we fend for ourselves? Now, understand, Chris and I over the years have been somewhat skeptical about the prospects for disclosure.
Somewhat skeptical?
I am understating, my friend.
I had to throw that in, Gene.
It's kind of like, when do you think it's going to happen? And I'll give you the reason why I've been skeptical, is we've been looking for so-called disclosure in the UFO field for many, many years. Back in the early 1950s, Major Donald Kehoe, former Marine Corps major, retired, wrote several books about UFOs, including one called The Flying Saucer Conspiracy, where he said the government, the U.S. government, knew the truth about UFOs, that they were real, that they were interplanetary or interstellar, and he wanted them to tell the truth. He figured we could stand it. But you know what? In 2012, it's not happening. Will it ever happen? Chris, did you ever believe disclosure was possible?
Yes, I did. Back when I first started actively investigating out in the field, dovetailing my efforts with other researchers back in the early 90s, when I didn't know better, I thought that, yes, the government knew all the secrets and were getting ready to come forward and spill the beans after 60 years. And fairly quickly, I realized that that was probably not very likely. And as the years have gone on, I've become less and less, more and more convinced that it's not going to happen. Let's put it that way.
That which was unlikely now becomes almost impossible, huh?
Exactly. And we're going to talk about this with Rich and Bryce, I'm sure.
Exactly. You know, the prospects, not just the reality. And then it's a question of if the government has guilty knowledge that they've been keeping all these decades, any government around the world.
Oh, yeah.
How do we persuade them to tell us what they know?
I don't know. Maybe give them a noogie?
Well, a petition won't help. There was a petition sent to President Obama, and some third assistant flunky from his office says, well, there's no evidence that UFOs are spaceships. Goodbye. Now, they tried a second petition. I don't know if it's been submitted yet. But the problem with these things is you don't have much time to screw up. So if the first petition doesn't make it, don't think they're going to pay much mind to the second petition. The book is After Disclosure. The authors are Richard Dolan and Bryce Zabel. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, neighbors. Summer's coming. That means many of us will be spending more time working from home or while traveling. So getting everyone together to a meeting may just be an impossible task. But not if you have GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix. You know, GoToMeeting lets you host meetings with clients and colleagues face-to-face all while online, no matter where they are. You know, our listeners can try GoToMeeting with HD Faces free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. Use the promo code PODCAST. GoToMeeting.com. The promo code is PODCAST. Download free app. And one more thing. You know, GoToMeeting is giving away 8 new iPads on Facebook. All you have to do is visit Facebook and like the GoToMeeting page. Then you can enter to win a new iPad and tell your friends to do the same thing. If they win the iPad, by the way, so will you.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses 3 groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Emergency Essentials has Mountain House deals in June. Going on now. Emergency Essentials, the 24-year leader in emergency preparedness supplies, does it again. With up to 25% off Mountain House foods. Don't miss these savings. All Mountain House number 10 cans are 20 to 25% off during the month of June only at BePrepared.com. Mountain House foods have superior taste and a scientifically proven 25-year shelf life because they start with fresh or frozen foods, then cook, prepare, and finally freeze dry them. All the goodness, flavor, and taste are locked in as if handmade from scratch. Mountain House, the same great meals enjoyed by campers and outdoorsmen the world over. Hurry, now through June 30th. Call 800-999-1863 to experience exceptional customer service and the BePrepared.com low price guarantee. That's 800-999-1863. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
So you don't want to carry a gun, but you do want to ensure your personal safety. Then empower yourself legally with self-defense products from StunGunMikes.com. Stun guns come in more shapes than just what you see on TV. Now you can get a powerful mini stun gun that fits in the palm of your hand, a stun baton, or a cell phone or lipstick stun gun. StunGunMikes.com also carries real spy gear, like bug and metal detectors, and discreet car and home security cameras that hide in almost any type of everyday object, from alarm clocks to pens. Now you can see how your babysitter really treats your children. Go to StunGunMikes.com, spelled just like it sounds. StunGunMikes.com. Buy real spy gear from StunGunMikes.com, just like the exact same spy gear sold to the government, military, corporate security, law enforcement, and private detectives. Empower yourself with self-defense products now from StunGunMikes.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
Okay, for the past 10 minutes, ladies and gentlemen, we've been debating who is going to say our closing stinger, the Paracast. And I have to think when I talk about this is that Chris and I and our guests, Richard Dolan and Bryce Zabel, are all in separate locations. And there's an old story back in the 40s when the movie comedians Abbott and Costello were popular. For 1 year, they couldn't stand each other, so they would not appear on the screen together. They'd have to, I guess, shoot their segments separately. And maybe that was with Martin and Lewis back in the 50s. I don't know. But everybody here is together with one uniform connection. And we'll be talking soon, updating about after disclosure, whether any progress has been made towards that, and the feeling about, well, with disclosure, what's the impact to society, how is society prepared to cope with it. But one of the things we want to mention here is, as you know, those of you who heard the previous appearance with Bryce Abel, he was producer of a TV show in 1996 and 1997 for NBC called Dark Skies. Now, NBC has done a lot of screwy things over the years, and number one of which is to cancel really good shows, of which this is one of them. Bryce, is there any possibility in the era of reboots that there could be a reboot of Dark Skies?
I hope so. I certainly am doing what I can to encourage that thinking. But, you know, the fact that NBC canceled a good show doesn't put them alone. Lots of networks have canceled lots of good shows over the years, and they'll continue to do it because it's you know, it's a subjective reality, not an objective reality. Different shows work for different people. But to answer your question, I got a little hot under the collar a few weeks ago when someone sent me a URL that said Dimension Films is planning to shoot a film this summer about alien abductions, and they were going to call it Dark Skies. And that seemed to me like a reach too far. I don't technically own Dark Skies, even though I created it with Brent Friedman. Sony Television and Sony Studios owns it. So I've alerted Sony that they should actually use it or lose it, and that I believe they should put Dark Skies back into development for either a reboot as a television series or as a feature film franchise. We're actually in discussions about how they might want to protect their brand, because Dark Skies, thanks to the 2011 DVD release, has become a brand once again, thanks to that ability of people to be able to sit down and watch all of it over a long weekend if they want to. So, yeah, I think there's a possibility. I'm exploring it. There's a Facebook page dedicated to show that people are interested in it, and we'll see.
Now, one of the things about titles, can you copyright a title?
No, not necessarily. Sure. But where it does get a little hinky is where someone else has a – like you say you can't copyright a title. Well, if that's the case, why don't the four of us who are on this call right now produce a film called Avatar 2? I mean, you can't copyright a title, right?
You can
obviously
trademark it, though.
Yeah, there are different things that people can do with titles. So my point is it's not an absolute, and it depends on how it's being used, et cetera. The fact that someone else would do a Dark Skies about alien abductions is a little too close to the bone, I would think, for Sony lawyers to want to tolerate. So I've tried to alert them to that and to the fact that Brent Friedman and myself would be happy to reboot the series in film or television. Let the lawyers sort out who owns what title or how it might work, but more to use it as a springboard, if you will, for a discussion about whether this brand, which basically says that all of our modern history has been influenced by the UFO secret, that's a pretty strong brand, and I'd like to keep it alive, and I think it's more relevant today than ever, especially given what Rich and I are here to talk to you about.
Absolutely, and the place is called Dark Skies UFO on Facebook. So you go to facebook.com/Dark Skies UFO. As we speak, there are 2,239 likes.
Not bad for a page that 2 weeks ago had 500. I basically threw the gauntlet down, if you will, to fans and said, look, before I call Sony to alert them to all this, it would be nice if you would show whatever support you have. And they took that page from, you know, a respectable and nice little home of 500 to a pretty thriving, vibrant community of 2,500. I think that shows something, and we'll see.
I'm rooting for you.
Thanks. I appreciate that. And I would only ask that anyone who listens to this, when they go there and take a look at, you can simply just go to Facebook and look up Dark Skies and you'll find the page. I'd love it if people go there and actually like it, because those are the numbers that bean counters are going to look at. You talk about people canceling things. Obviously, the bottom liners look at numbers. They look at Nielsen numbers. They look at Facebook likes, all that kind of stuff. So it's always to your advantage to drive those numbers up. And I hope that your listeners will help me do that.
And remember, it was the fans who brought back the original Star Trek for a final season in the days before there was social networking. It's very possible.
You know, we live let me just wrap it up this
Please.
Way to say that we live in a time, what with shows like yours, with the way that Rich and I have produced and also publicized our current book, 80 After Disclosure, how Dark Skies was able to come back, say, as a DVD, and now people that never saw it before are able to see it. We just live in a time where the rules are changing and being reinvented. And that is disturbing on some levels because the old rules don't apply and it's hard to make plans. But on another level, it's very exciting because it means that things that might have been just too impossible before are now wholly possible. And I think that is a great place to be operating from.
Well, as someone who's created with my son our own science fiction series in terms of literary series, I'm all for this. More the merrier, and we hope that you and Sony can work something out here for a reboot for Dark Skies.
Thanks so much.
Richard Dolan, you were busy working on UFOs in the national security state, and you took kind of a segue to work with Bryce on After Disclosure. How did this come about?
Yeah, that's interesting, Gene. This was in the late part of 2009. I got a phone call from Bryce. I didn't know who he was, really. I remembered Dark Skies. But Bryce called me. Really, initially, we were talking about him working off of the histories that I had already written and maybe doing a kind of TV treatment or some kind of film or video treatment of that work itself. And what we really discovered quickly is that through the early part of 2010, we had a lot of conversations and they morphed a bit. And we discovered that we both had an interest in this whole topic of disclosure, which, of course, for the past 5-10 years has gotten a hold over a lot of ufology. It's very much being discussed by a lot of people. And we thought we had a different idea. We thought we had something original to contribute to this emerging discussion, and that is really to try to think about what would happen if this event that so many people have been wanting for, myself included, Bryce included, actually were to occur. So how would the world be rocked by true end to UFO secrecy? And that really... that germinated in the spring of 2010, and it really wasn't a very long period of time between when we decided, all right, let's do this, and then when we mapped out the project and then just wrote it. I mean, we really started out of the gate, I would say, in April, early April 2010. We mapped the whole thing out at that time and created a sort of division of labor. Basically, it would be like, okay, you're working on Chapter 6. I'll look at Chapter 2 this week, and we'll come back to each other.
We'll go into the labor separation. We'll separate
exactly.
Lots of things in a moment. With Gene and Chris, we have Richard Dolan and Bryce Zabel. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio.
Hey. Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Love gardening but don't love seeing your hard work destroyed by wildlife? Then use the number one most effective deer and rabbit repellent you can buy, PlantSkid. PlantSkid repellent protects gardens, trees, and landscaping by emitting an odor that browsing animals associate with predators. So animals avoid plants before they nibble, not after. PlantSkid is made in the U.S. from non-toxic, 100% organic, environment, and pet-friendly ingredients. Other repellents wash off in the rain. Not PlantSkid. It's guaranteed to outlast all other repellents. PlantSkid was the first animal repellent to be OMRI listed organic and now comes in liquid spray, powder concentrate, or easy-to-use granular. Just sprinkle around your garden. For proven protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents, use PlantSkid. Member tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Find a dealer near you at PlantSkid.com. That's PlantSkyd.com. Ask about our new vole repellent when you call 800-252-6051. That's 800-252-6051. PlantSkid. Proven plant protection guaranteed or your money back.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Hi, this is Ted Phillips, listening to the Paracast, and it's as good as it gets, believe me.
Richard Dolan, Bryce Sable joining us. Together, they wrote a book called After Disclosure. And as we broke, Rich was telling us about how they divided up the work process, who got which chapter, and who was going to do which type of coverage. Now, in terms of separating the workload, how did you feel in terms of topics who would get what?
Well, you know, initially we thought, well, there are certain topics that would naturally go to each one of us. And we can go over that. But really what happened in practice is that Bryce would start a particular chapter or I would start a particular chapter and come up with a couple of thousand words and then really hand it over to the other guy who would then have his own thing to add. And we ended up editing and adding to the entire work as a whole. So there may be certain chapters that might be 60% me and other chapters that might be 60% Bryce. But really, when we got to the end of the process, we both realized that we had a difficult time when we reviewed the actual writing, like who actually wrote that paragraph or that sentence. And in fact, the answer frequently was, well, we really both did.
We both did.
So, yeah.
No, I was just going to say, Gene, what we did is we did this whole process through Google Docs because Rich lives in New York and I live in California. So us actually physically being together for the length of time that would be necessary to write a book of this magnitude just wasn't going to happen physically. So it had to happen virtually. And what we ended up doing, I've always written like this with any writing partners where you write on top of each other. One guy takes a pass at something and the other guy edits it. And that works as long as you both trust each other. And Rich and I quickly got to the place where that's exactly how we feel.
Yes.
I feel like anything of mine that he touches is going to be better. And I hope he feels the same way. And so what we did is we just kept plowing the field, if you will. And and now it's true. I actually sat down a couple of weeks ago and read the version of AD After Disclosure that is now out in all the bookstores nationwide. And by the way, it's being featured in Barnes & Noble for the month of June and July on their new and noteworthy table, which means when you walk into a Barnes & Noble, supposedly you're to find a copy of AD After Disclosure there.
Excellent.
Which is terrific news, and we feel very validated by it. And so literally as I was reading that book that's in those Barnes & Nobles, I started to just realize that we have been through it enough times and in enough different ways that it's really one of those glorious byproducts of collaboration.
Yeah.
Where both guys kind of say, yeah, that's our book, and that's how
I feel. Absolutely. Absolutely right. Yeah. It was a great collaboration. And I have to say, you know, looking at it from my point of view, too, there's no way I would have been able alone to do this kind of a book. And I'm sure Bryce feels the same way from his point of view. We really each had a key thing to contribute to it. And it's a product that I think we're both happy with. And the other thing that I would just add is writing the book was a really great adventure, because here's where I really think we had something to contribute. As I said, I mean, a lot of people have been talking about disclosure and the need to end secrecy. But you know, from my point of view, a lot of it just seems so utopian and wide-eyed and naive, like, oh, yeah, disclosure is going to solve every single problem. We'll make the deserts bloom. I've heard that one how many times. And all these other issues that we all, I think, who've studied this problem can recognize that UFO secrecy is probably a bad thing. I mean, I've argued that it's been a bad thing for our society for a long time. I believe in truth. But then when you get past that, you ask yourself, okay, well, let's bring the secret out. What then? We found that really no one was having this discussion. No one was really having a sophisticated, intelligent discussion about what actually would happen, not make-believe stuff, but real stuff. And so we tried to puzzle that out.
Now, that's the point I wanted to ask you about, Rich and Bryce, and that is here. Obviously, in every other case we talk about disclosure, even from the days of Major Donald Kehoe, very little is said about the ramifications, the methodology of disclosure and the ramifications if it happens.
Honestly, what we did is we wrote the book that we wanted to read. We looked around at what was out there and nobody had written this book, so we said, I guess we have to do it. And we approached it from the point of view almost like we were writing the Rand Corporation presentation about how disclosure could possibly come down so that decision makers could think about it, which, as Rich pointed out, created probably the most fascinating collaboration I've ever been a part of. And I've been a part of some really great ones that I'm very proud of. But this one was really interesting because the topic was so fascinating to ask. We kept asking ourselves, not what are the blue sky things, what are the things that everyone affirms about it every time they talk about disclosure, but what would it look like? And could we actually make that specific? And would we be daring enough to make it specific? Because the problem with being specific, of course, is that the second you say something that's very clear and clean, somebody else can say, well, I don't agree with that at all. And we made our minds up early on to take a lot of risks in this book for the simple reason that we felt that the book was really a starter of a global discussion, if anything, and that it was important to have people like it or not like it, but talk about it, because we were not actually talking about how the world's going to look in any of these other books. And now I think we've accomplished that, and I'm relatively pleased at the response that most people have had, which is, you don't have to agree with 100% of what's in this book, but you will see the reason we did it the way we did it, which is to take very specific stands. And I'll just give you one very specific stand. We asked ourselves, okay, well, people are always talking about the president disclosing. Will it be the president? Well, we don't necessarily think it will be, and we can get into that more later if you want to. But we thought if a president was going to make, a U.S. president was going to make a disclosure statement, we asked ourselves, when would it be? And we came up with a very specific prediction that if someone is going to disclose UFO ET reality in a presidential setting, it would probably be on a Friday afternoon after 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
After the news cycle, as they say.
And the stock market's closed.
Right. And the other question, of course, is would it come from the President of the United States? Would it come from the Secretary General of the United Nations? Would they fight over who has a chance to make that revelation? Because I assume that lots of governments would share this. There's no way the United States would know everything, and no other government on the planet would not have some inkling of what this is all about. Conversely, maybe some other government may have come up with something. So that would be part of it. Now, the question that comes across here is you wrote the book and you said, well, this consider what the Rand Corporation would do as kind of a guidepost towards how to handle disclosure. Do you think that any government is smart enough to have a document like that already under wraps,
yes,
guiding their process?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I don't think that they're about to let you and me read it. I think it's probably eyes only for a certain select group of people. But let me just put it this way. If you were sitting on a secret of this magnitude for over six decades, going on seven now, and you haven't taken the time to write what happens if this management of the secret falls apart for reasons that we may or may not be able to predict. How would we handle that? If you didn't come up with that plan, you wouldn't be doing your job very well. So intuitively, I just say there has to be one of those. I think, Rich, you mm-hmm. agree with that, right?
Well, I do, and I would just add, in my research, I've personally spoken to two individuals, very highest level types of individuals who have said exactly this to me, that essentially there's a review every certain number of years. One said every 5 or 10 years, and another one said more or less the same thing. In fact, one of them told me that he had been part of such a review process at one point. This is years ago. And in fact, one thing that he mentioned to me, and this really stuck with me, was that he said there are a lot of people who review this who actually do believe that there needs to be an end to secrecy at some point. The problem is all of the little sticky the ramifications, like legal ramifications. A lot of people were terrified of lawsuits. I mean, purely mundane types of considerations when you get right down to it. When you compare to the presence of superhuman extraterrestrial visitors, maybe that might be telepathic and super intelligent. But these guys, one of their key worries was lawsuits.
Well, some lawyers are going to love to take that on. I'll tell you, I want to ask you about the lawsuits, but also about controlling the secret. How do you do it in a day and age when we talk about White House leaks in the major papers? Bryce Abel and Richard Dolan join Gene and Chris. You're in.
Rich, do it.
The Paracast.
Very nice.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo Tote Bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
For a long time, you've heard me talk about building your own food supply with eFoods Direct. As a listener, you know why you need to have a supply of the best storable food on the planet. Every day, we document the attempts to take control of our lives. But there's one thing we can all control, your greatest dependency, food. eFoods Direct products are made with only the best ingredients and none of the trash and contaminants like trans fats, GMOs, or MSG. This food is nutrient dense and tastes great. It's simple to make, portable, and has a shelf life of up to 25 years. Now with eFoods Direct, you'll get the most affordable, best-tasting food you can buy. To celebrate the beginning of summer, you can save 20% off their already affordable prices. This offer ends on June 20th, so take advantage of the summer savings now. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex for specials. Don't let this offer pass you by. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. More the best for less guaranteed.
Survival is not about the end of the world. It's not about a hypothetical plane crash or the latest violent storm. Survival is about the satisfaction of knowing you can take care of yourself and your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. CampingSurvival.com was started in 1956. No, not the .com part, the survival part. CampingSurvival.com has over 17,000 urban, wilderness, and preparedness items. Supreme customer service. Very low shipping and no games. We look around to make sure we have the lowest prices, and CampingSurvival.com is 100% USMC veteran owned. Don't base your survival on the latest spring up on the internet company. Do business with an authority on survival. CampingSurvival.com. Use coupon code GCN at checkout, and CampingSurvival.com will take 5% off your order. CampingSurvival.com. Confidence born of preparation.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, towline, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
37 things to hoard. Do you have the 37 crucial food items you can't survive without? When disaster hits and mobs go crazy grabbing food off the shelves, your family may be without food or waiting in long food lines. Prepare now at 123survivalplan.com. That's 123survivalplan.com. Many people don't have these 37 food items. Learn what you need to hoard now at 123survivalplan.com. Watch the video over 1 million people have viewed to discover the 37 food items that will sell out first when disaster strikes at 123survivalplan.com.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned in to the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
We have Bryce Abel, Richard Dolan, authors of After Disclosure, with Gene and Chris on the Paracast. And one of the issues, of course, is the outgrowth of disclosure, and this is something that hasn't been discussed, which is the legal ramifications. So we know that lawyers will find any way they can to make a living.
I wouldn't make it a pejorative even about lawyers. I would just say modern society is as technical and as complicated as it is, needs vehicles that allow people to work out their problems. And when disclosure happens, in whatever form it happens, whether it's forced disclosure or planned disclosure, it's going to throw a lot of things out there that have to be worked on. They'll end up in court. Most things end up in court in our modern society. We have a whole lengthy part of the book that is about this. I'll give you an example. One thing that's clearly going to have to end up in court is, what about a pilot who saw a UFO, who reports it, who then finds himself grounded for years and his career materially affected, and then disclosure happens, he's going to file a lawsuit to find out if the people who downgraded his flight status also knew about the reality of UFOs. Because if they did, then they damaged this man, and you bet he'll sue. So just one example.
The other example might be, for example, say the family of Thomas Mantell. Allegedly, he dies while chasing a UFO. We can say maybe it wasn't a UFO, maybe it was Venus or a Skyhook balloon. Whatever it is, someone in that situation where somebody is injured or somebody is killed because of their checking into a UFO case.
Although sure, most of those legal things, there's statute of limitations, and also that he was working for the government. So Mantell, we actually handle his case very directly. We believe that probably in the year or so after disclosure, there will be a move to give Mantell his proper military due for having died, you know, in a combat mission, in essence, instead of just being a crazy guy that couldn't tell Venus in the night sky. But from a statute of limitations point of view, he probably doesn't have action, neither do his family. But a lot of people who are currently alive do have courses of action.
Well, regarding the legal issues, I think at least as fundamentally, more fundamentally, are going to be the problem of just political outrage over the secrecy itself. And there's going to be a lot of angry citizens. So you'll have a situation where, you know, I mean, let's just back up a little bit, because people who believe that, why would the secret even come out anyway? After all, that it's been pretty effectively contained for, let's say, about 70 years now, about one human lifetime when you get right down to it. And although there have been leaks, and although there's been issues involved in this secret where this has come out and that's come out, essentially it's still held. And so the argument would be, well, why do you even think this is going to come out? And then But when it comes out, it's going to be very explosive. We believe it's going to come out because we're in an absolutely revolutionary era, and to expect things to stay exactly as they are indefinitely, I think, is ridiculous. This is not 1950. It's not even 1990. We're in an era where we've got mass communications that we could never have imagined. WikiLeaks, I think that phenomenon is going to be very significant. So when this comes out, when the president, let's say, is forced to reveal something about this, because that's the only way it's going to happen is when they're forced to do it, there's going to be a lot of people asking a basic question. After the fundamental, like, are we safe? Who are these other guys? They're going to ask, how have you kept this secret all these years? What does that say about the corrupt nature of our society that you've kept us from our media, our mainstream media, our political system, our academic institutions, our scientific community? People are going to want to know just exactly how this structure of secrecy operates. And that is a key area where lawsuits, class action lawsuits, are going to be scary. And not just lawsuits, but congressional hearings, because Congress will be forced into looking into this. They may not want to, but they're going to have to do it. So, I mean, when we're talking legal ramifications, we're talking about the whole structure of society in many ways is going to be up for grabs in terms of this. It's going to be a mess.
Class action suit of abductees.
Yeah, well, right. That's part of it right there, certainly. But the other question I would have to ask here is keeping the secret. Now, we have a situation now, of course, where the U.S. Congress is investigating, along with the Attorney General and special U.S. attorneys, whether there have been significant leaks about our current military actions with regard to the war on terror. Now, the question I have is, if this secret is being kept, that decision would have been made in, what, the late 1940s. How do you keep a secret like that for so many years? Changes in administration, changes in Congress, changes in the personnel in the military and the intelligence agencies. How do you do it, man?
Well, one of the ideas that we believe is actually probably close to truth is the concept that the secrecy has become privatized to a large extent, not a total extent. But think of it this way. Look at a U.S. president. He's in for 4 years, maybe eight, okay? You've got bureaucracies that run with lifetimers that are in. You've got an intelligence community that's littered with special access programs that, as far as anyone can tell, have little to no effective oversight, not even by their own departments, whether it's the Navy or Army, much less Congress. So you've got these agencies and groups that just go, they do their own thing with apparently really no effective guidance from the office of the White House. After all, the president's got to kiss the babies. He's got to shake the hands of the diplomats. He's got all these things to do.
So he doesn't know. He doesn't know what's going on, and they're not going to tell him unless there was a need to know.
Correct. Yeah.
It's almost like the film Independence Day, where the U.S. president in that film is put in a position where he says there's no Area 51, and then his Secretary of Defense or something says, that's not exactly true.
Right. Well, let's rewind the clock to the late 1940s and just look at this as it probably evolved historically. So, like, you've got Harry Truman and you've got his top guys around him. And one of them comes to the president and informs him, you know, sir, we have recovered technology that does not appear to have been manufactured by human hands, human civilization. So let's just assume that, like, Roswell happened. Many of us believe it. I believe it. Rice believes it.
Let me ask you parenthetically, do you believe in Aztec?
Well, I'm very excited about the Aztec case now. I'm friends with Scott Ramsey, who just recently, along with his wife Suzanne, reinvestigated the Aztec case.
They came out with a book, of course, that we had him on the show. We were the first show to cover that book.
Yeah, I'm glad that you guys did it. I think that the Aztec case could very well have some truth to it. The only problem is we're now going so far ahead. That was 1948. Unlike with Roswell, when that investigation really got underway in the late 70s, that's 30 years. With Aztec, it's much, much longer, and I'm afraid the trail may have gotten cold. But I do think Scott has made a reasonably good argument that Aztec did happen.
Okay, so we go back in time to the 1940s.
So the basic issue is this. If you're the president, you have to decide. What do I do? Do I tell the world? There's a big question for you. And maybe you might want to, but you'd have to think twice, because if you tell the world, it's not simply telling the world that there's these other beings. No, no. It's telling the world that you've got some of their stuff. And you've got a Cold War happening here. You've got the Russians who you're afraid of. You've got all these other nations who are wild cards in a sense. And if you tell the world you've got this exotic technology, it's going to become mighty hard not to share it. It's a lot easier to keep it secret if you pretend that you don't have anything whatsoever. And so what would Truman do? Well, one of the things he would have to do is to have top scientists and contractors study this technology. And if they're going to do that, you can't let Congress know about it, because if you tell Congress, then you're telling the world. So you have to create a black budget situation. You must go in an extra constitutional manner if you're going to contain this secret. And you've got to privatize it. You've got to give it to the contractors who really have got the chops to be able to study and replicate this stuff. And now you've got this privatized bureaucracy, as it were, that's very, very neat to know, very, very deep black. And the problem with, you know, keeping a secret like that is that it becomes profitable. It develops its own momentum.
Does it also make it possible, Rich, for the government to lose control over the years because it has been privatized?
Correct, and which I think has happened. I think there's a very good case to make. Look at the U.S. government today. Look at Barack Obama and his foreign policy. Do people really believe that the president is truly the guy in charge, or that the interests and powerful financial groups that essentially stand behind him and put him into the office, not all of which are even American? And take that and look at the UFO secret in this regard, in this context. That I think is a more accurate way to see this. You've got groups that stand behind. And in fact, in terms of the rumor mill, which I think is fair to look at this point, you've got a statement that's attributed to Ben Rich, who's a former head of Lockheed Skunk Works Division. Rich was talking about Kelly Johnson, his predecessor and mentor at Lockheed.
And we'll get to what that message is. In a moment, we have Rich Dolan, Bryce Zabel. The book is AD, After Disclosure. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.